Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 the Fox. AJ is not on the bike. He got off around 8:20 last night off the bike.
Yep.
And raised how much money, Bob Stefanowski?
See, Amy's here with me. We don't measure things in terms of bike time. We measure things in terms of how much was raised.
Yes.
And how many masks we're going to be able to deliver.
Right. And if you had told me yesterday that we were going to raise over $20,000 in AJ's bike ride, I would have thought you were crazy. So, AJ, amazing job.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And then what does that buy? How many masks?
Well, I got my little calculator out right now. I'm doing it as we speak. Divided by 0.6. That's about 35,000 masks we can buy.
AJ!
Wow. That's awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
Wow.
That's cool. Thank
that's
you.
A whole community you just helped.
That's right.
That's a whole bunch of people who donated.
Well,
thank you.
What it'll allow us to do is another big event. Like we did Hartford, we did Waterbury, we did New Haven, and now we can have the AJ event somewhere else in the state.
That's amazing.
Let's see. Everyone has to wear flip flops.
Ride a bicycle.
Shirts with no sleeves.
Yeah, flip flops. Yeah. Yes, right. Yeah, right. That's a requirement. Yes.
We'll get masks for Connecticut T-shirts that are all just muscle shirts, and then
35,000 masks. That's unbelievable.
That's AJ. Awesome.
That's absolutely unbelievable.
That's really.
That's the people who donated, actually. But thank you.
I'm floored by that, man. That is unreal.
Yeah. Cool.
When do you know when the next event may be?
We're thinking next week. We're working with a corporate sponsor, so I can't technically announce it yet, but I'm pretty sure we're going to have a big one next week.
Very good.
And we'll give AJ appropriate billing on that, because that pays almost for the whole event. It's unbelievable, AJ.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
That's nuts.
No, thank you.
That's great.
That is great work.
I raised my hand.
For the plastic bags, if you get back on the bike today, AJ, another $2,000 for the plastic bags.
If there's any money in eating pizza, I'll do an event for that.
There you go, see? Slices for masks.
Drinking beer and eating pizza on a Friday.
Right.
But we can't thank you enough. You know, the longer a thing like this goes, it's harder to raise money because people get used to it. So this was a nice jump start in the arm, AJ. Something different. Something to get people back on the donation trail. This was really what we needed right now. It's terrific what you did.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you to the tribe that all stepped forward, and made donations. We really appreciate it.
It's unbelievable. We see a lot of duplicate donations, people coming in again, you know, $50 and then another 10. It's just been so heartwarming to see how people have stepped up for this.
Well, thank you, Bob.
Yeah.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you
for
both.
Starting this whole thing. So
absolutely.
It's an honor to be part of it. Bob and Amy Stefanowski. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks again.
Yeah, thank you.
So we're trying to get some ideas as to what AJ can do to feel better. His muscles are tightening up.
I'm going to sit down for a second.
So
why are you even standing?
You're standing?
Just doing something.
Can I talk to your body directly?
Okay.
More like AJ's body, how's it going?
Well, not as good as we planned this morning. This morning we planned on being in tip-top shape, but apparently not.
Well, this morning you were going to be on that bike still.
Right, really. Apparently so, but we decided to get off the bike.
It doesn't sound like AJ told you about any of this.
No, of course not. He's always unprepared, as you may know.
Oh, so you're used to this.
Exactly right. We've worked with this idiot for about 50-some years, yes.
Okay, so no surprise here.
Oh, you see some of the stuff he did in his teens. My God, I'm surprised we're here.
So I don't think I want to know.
Oh, my God. Let's just say that Evel Knievel wouldn't have done half the stuff he did. We came and talk right now. That's how bad we are right now. Yeah.
Speaking of that, we have a montage of Flubbles coming up soon.
Yes.
Great.
Let's go to Matt in Danbury. Hey, Matt.
Hey, congratulations, AJ. It's really not about the quantity. It's about the quality. You know, as they say, it's 2 inches at 200 miles an hour is always bound to do some damage. So you're good to go.
Yeah.
To go into it, stay moving. You know, stay standing up. Do some light jogging in place while you're on the air.
Get back on the bike.
He's
still behind me.
Silence from him.
Yes. Because it's you stressed out your muscles so much that if you don't, you know, keep them just moving a little bit, you're going to get even more sore.
Gotcha.
So just, you know, stand in place, stretch, do a little light jog, something like that.
Oh, I don't think he could do a light jog with his feet, but I like the moving around.
Yeah,
just something, something in place, you know.
March in place.
Yeah, then jumping jacks.
Then the Iron Man competition.
Yeah. Good job, AJ. Thank good you, job, man. Everybody.
Thanks, Matt.
Glad it worked out.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
I like Matt.
Yeah, good dude.
David in Waterbury.
Hey, first time listener, long time caller.
All right, cool.
That's interesting.
Right.
Well, thank you for finally listening.
No, I love that joke. It just usually takes a second to kick in.
It does, yeah. And
but anyways, your best bet, I mean, I know what you're going to be feeling really soon, but as far as trying to, your muscles being atrophied and everything that quickly, if you haven't worked out in a long time and you just suddenly do it one day, right, falls to the wall, you're going to be hurting. It's called delayed onset muscle soreness.
Right.
And a lot of bodybuilders and stuff like that, they experience it usually about 18 to 24 hours later. You're going to be a hurting unit. So
yeah, I mean, I work out on a regular basis. I'm limited stuff right now because I can't go to the gym.
We have to dig up a call from last night, which made us think that AJ needed to get off that bike immediately. He was saying all these words. He was the
EMT.
Oh, my
God, yeah.
He was saying all these words that your muscles could start breaking down and then poison your blood.
Something like that, yeah.
You're like, oh, my God.
I want to say it was in the 8 o'clock, early 8 o'clock.
Oh, it was definitely, we pulled the plug shortly after that. It was scary.
You actually hear my eyes widen.
What was your body saying?
Jazz and AJ News.
99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. We did it, Connecticut. Congratulations. Your hard work has paid off. We hit the 14-day hospitalization decline.
Nice.
Milestone. Cases and deaths are up. I know that's deaths are horrible, and one is too many.
Yes.
But if you watched New York, this is a part of it going away. It can't go away until this goes up.
Yeah.
And the cases go up because we're testing so much now.
Right.
Good news for those unemployed, self-employed people. Not great news, but, you know, now you can go to the unemployment website and file a claim. There was no portal for you to do that before, and now you can do that. They announced it yesterday at 1 o'clock. The Department of Labor is on the website filectui.com. So that's good. At least you can begin that process.
Right.
Is the mayor of New Haven a plumber?
Is he a plumber?
Hmm.
I had no idea.
Let's get Mayor Elker on the phone. Did I see on a television screen your face, your name, and underneath it, plumber?
You might have seen that. You might have seen that.
Yeah. Are you fixing plumbing? Are you cleaning out drains?
I've got a lot of different jobs that I need to take care of as mayor, and apparently that's one of them as well.
Right.
I'm a man of many talents.
There was a leak.
Yeah,
had to fix
WTNH, it. WTNH got me confused with some other person named Jason Ellickson or something like that.
Gotcha.
Who would have thought?
Yep. I was a basketball player one time for UConn.
Kristen sent me this screenshot yesterday. Like, this has to be a joke. And
right.
It's the mayor with a face mask on.
Right.
And it says, Justin Elker, plumber.
Was he dressed like Mario?
You have a brush in one hand.
Yeah, I've done some... home plumbing, if you will, but I've never been officially acknowledged for that work. So right. I'm glad that finally the press has uncovered that part of my past.
Hey, if you plunge
what
toilet,
what home
works.
Plumbing did you do? Seriously,
what home plumbing?
Yeah,
I'm moving a couple pipes around, you know, that sort of thing. Fixing
up
the.
How do you? What did you do to? What kind of pipes?
Installing or hooking up a dishwasher was one thing.
Oh.
It's not too complicated, but
right.
I pulled out the Home Depot book and
he dabbled.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
I dabbled. I accidentally drilled through a pipe once and water came
spraying
everywhere.
So we had to fix it. That's plumbing.
Sounds like not my kind of plumbing.
If people are looking for that kind of plumbing, they're welcome to give me a call and
I'll
come over and give it a go.
Exactly.
Imagine hearing a knock on the door.
What is it?
Hello. Right. It's the plumber.
Right.
Mayor Elliker?
Are things that bad in New Haven?
He's got a side job.
I'm trying to fix all kinds of problems. So
right.
I'm happy to help there, too.
That's a very, very funny tweet. So how are things in New Haven, Mayor?
We're doing well. We're staying the course. Most people are following the social distancing guidelines. I think we could be a little bit better at mask wearing, but still a lot of people are wearing masks, which is good. And, I keep saying that I think it's important that we understand we're not out of the woods yet. And there's other countries that have opened up and then gone back, Hong Kong, Taiwan, Singapore. And so and they've tightened up again after opening up a little bit. And so I think that we just really need to be cautious and take things slowly and carefully.
Do you see New York City police being used to, like, police masks wearing?
Yeah.
Not a great idea, yeah. Right?
Well, I'm really reluctant to go that route. I think that, my hope is that the vast majority of people will do the right thing and keep each other safe. I think one of the problems is that people that are trying to abide by the guidance, if they go out and someone else decides not to stand 6 feet away from you or not to wear a mask, those people's decisions are putting the people that are trying to follow the guidelines at risk. And that's just not fair to everyone. I think we're all really reluctant to enforce in a way that, like we saw in New York. But we've got to follow these guidelines. People should make this easy for all of us.
So May 20th, phase one of businesses reopening. Are the restaurants in New Haven ready? I know the guidelines will be announced today, right?
Yeah. Our team, our economic development department team, is working to help support the restaurants. And I think that this is also going to be – the governor will be releasing a whole list of different specific steps restaurants need to take in order to open up. But also the discretion is in the restaurant's hands as well to have a level of comfort that they feel they can open safely and keep their employees and customers safe. But we'll be there to try to support, get out the word, and do anything we can to make sure that we're helping restaurants keep everyone safe.
You feel comfortable with May 20th?
No. To be honest, I don't think any of us feel fully comfortable. I think we feel quite cautious about things. A lot of this depends on how we roll it out, but these things are just inherently difficult to get everyone to do exactly the right thing because it's complicated to even know what the right thing is to do, even if you try to follow the guidelines. And then it's complicated to get people that are, your restaurant employees or your customers to all do the right thing, too.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a little messy.
Well, then you have to coordinate the use of the restroom. There's a lot that has to be done. And then, like you said, there's always those who just feel like this is all a hoax. And
right.
They're not going to or it can't affect them.
To live their life. Yep.
Or people that even want to do the right thing, but then they're trying to do the right thing, but then they don't pay attention to it every moment. How do you keep your employees that are in a restaurant 6 feet away from each other when they're, passing dishes back and forth and trying to get meals ready? It's just really difficult things to do.
If you have a mask on
right now?
No.
Oh, you asked me if I had a mask.
I was going to ask you about kitchen work, but that's a good question. Do you have a mask on right now?
I don't have a mask on, and I'm not going to share what else I'm wearing, but I'm at home.
Right.
He has
a mask on, but not on his face.
Right. The mayor has a mask on, but he's not going to say where.
He's like, I know where this is going.
I'm going to leave it right there, I think. All right, Mayor Elliker, don't wear yourself out doing plumbing work over the weekend
because
we need you running the city. Thanks for coming on. Have a great weekend.
All right, thanks, everyone. Right. Take care.
You too.
Mayor Elliker.
I love him. He's awesome.
A man of many identities and many talents. There was an amazing animal rescue in Bethlehem.
Really?
Yes. And I'm going to let the fire chief of Bethlehem bring us through that. Ken, how do I pronounce your last name?
Leclerc.
Leclerc.
Yes.
All right. Ken, what happened?
Shortly before 6:30 yesterday morning, we were called for an animal rescue. Upon arrival, we found a 2,000-pound draft horse that had wandered into an old pond overnight and was stuck up to its shoulders and neck in mud, probably 40 feet out into the pond away from the shore.
All right. What do you do with that?
Yeah. How do you even begin?
You don't train for this.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Man.
Right.
You don't. We've done animal rescues before, but it's mostly, you know, horses that have fallen over in a stall, you know, animals that have slipped and fallen. We've never quite had anything like this before. We had all of the town crew members in town are firefighters, so they got an excavator from the town crew right away. We're about 1,200 feet off the road, which made it difficult. The excavator wasn't big enough to reach the animal. We reached out to another construction company in town. They brought a larger excavator in. We reached out to Murley's Towing in Torrington. They came down with recovery straps that you'd use to pick up a truck. And then we put firefighters in cold water suits and some in the street clothes and our animal control officer in our street clothes. And we went in and dug next to it and literally dug down 6 feet on all the sides of the horse. And we were able to get tow straps underneath the horse.
Wow.
And utilize the excavator.
Wow.
To hoist it up.
How's the horse reacting to all this?
You know, fortunately, I'm not a big horse person. I try to avoid them because I know how skittish they can be. Fortunately, in this case, it was a big draft horse who was, you know, calm and cool, very even-tempered. So he was really good for it.
Would have been a nightmare if it was thoroughbred.
Right.
They run hot.
Exactly.
Yeah, you'd have a whole nother situation.
Right. I mean, we had the homeowner shoving hay under the horse's neck to try to keep its head under the water. And the horse is actually sitting there eating it while we're working on it.
Now, wait, did you say to keep the head under the water?
I mean, above, right?
Not, keep
above.
The head above the water.
Above, right, okay.
Right. Yeah, above. Yeah.
I was like, well, that's one way anybody. To get the horse out.
Exactly, right. Just drown it.
It passes out, and you just pull it right out.
Just put a bunch of dirt over it, he's good.
So you dig out around the horse so you can get the straps under it.
Yep, we dug it out by hand. Took almost 2.5 hours to get the horse out.
Like a sling.
Wow. Why couldn't you use the machine to do that? Just too close?
Just too close. We were able to get to about 2 feet away from it. And then, you can't even use shovels. The guys literally used their hands.
Wow.
And just kept digging. We got two firefighters stuck in the mud that we ended up having to use the excavator and straps.
Well, you can make deals with them then.
Right.
You got to clean the fire truck for the rest of the year.
Right. You're getting too big.
And we thought AJ was sore being on a bike for 11 hours.
Seriously.
Wow, these guys hand digging out a horse 6 feet in the mud.
Wow.
Wow.
That's great. Yeah.
That's commitment.
I can't begin to say how proud I am of these guys for doing this. This had all the potential to go really ugly. You know, with everything that's going on, though, it's nice to finally have something nice.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. Good news, yeah.
So you dig it out, you get the straps, and then you tie the straps to the excavator bucket. And was it tough to get the horse out? Because you can't pull too hard. There could be a suction. You could break a rib. What was that like?
It was. It was stuck in the mud with suction. So once the excavator tied it up on it, and then everybody just dove in and just frantically dug underneath it, dug around its leg.
What an
under
effort.
Its stomach.
Everybody grab a straw quick.
Well, have you ever stepped in mud and have your boot pull right, like your foot comes right out of your boot?
Yep, exactly.
Now picture a horse.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, when this was over, the guys and our animal control officer, I mean, they were covered head to toe in mud.
Wow.
I had the easy job, you know, calling shots. The guys that were in there was just an incredible amount of work.
It's great to be the chief.
Yep. They all hugged him, though.
Yeah. To get this out, you know, everybody jumped in. We had Torrington Fire come down with their trench rescue team because we had significant fear that, you know, we were going to get somebody stuck in there and not be able to get them out.
Right.
So. Yeah. Everybody pitched in. It really worked out well. Homeowner yesterday, the horse's name was Samson. She said he was a little shaky, but he's going to be fine.
Good, Samson. It's a great
name. The vet was on scene for once we got him out that he could work on him. And, you know, he'd been in there at that point a number of hours.
So. Yeah. How's Samson doing now?
He's doing good today. He's at the end of the day last night, he was eating, he was drinking. You know, he's standing up. He's still weak, but, you know, he was doing okay.
How old is he?
It's a rescue horse, which makes it even better. She had rescued
a rescue horse.
And rescued twice.
Yep.
Double rescued.
So she felt he was about 25 years old is what they were thinking. So he wasn't a young horse.
Yeah.
So,
that's not the way you want to go.
No, not like that, no. Stick in the mud, no.
No, not after you... Not after you've been rescued to end up like that.
Right.
Yep.
Wow, what a deal.
Huh. Well, good
That's
luck,
amazing. Samson. Well, congratulations to everybody involved in that one. That is great work. And you're right. What a great story, and we need a great story.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate, all the thanks.
Yeah, no, on another note, Bethlehem Fair, probably not happening.
We're going back and forth. My daughter's on the executive committee. I'm a former fair director. There's going to be another discussion next week. It's a really hard call. It's awful early. Everybody wants to do everything that's right. But I know one of the big thoughts is they want to give all the vendors the opportunity to know right away what's going to happen. So I think the call is going to be made next week.
Well, it's not like the vendors are going to be busy.
There's somebody on the phone waiting.
Yeah, it's not like there's, hey, we can go over to New Hampshire. You know? There's not a lot going on this summer.
No one's going anywhere.
It's one of the greatest fairs in the state, the Bethlehem
Fair. I heard good things,
really good.
It's a really tough situation with the fair.
Do you still have the hollering contest?
We still have the hollering contest.
All right. My friend Sean won it.
That's their meetings.
He was practicing in my bar.
Really?
1 year, like 3 a.m. And about a week later, I ran into someone at a store about a mile away, and they said, "What's going on at your house?"
The yelling, your yard.
Do you have a deadline as to when to make the decision for that?
Right now, the drop dead date for it looks like it's going to be next week. They're going to get a meeting with all the directors and make a final call. They met this week. The executive board, I know, met last night, and the directors are going to meet next week. And just finally make a call on it.
And Chief, how many years has it been since people overtook the population of cows?
It hasn't been that many.
Right.
It's probably within the past 15 years.
Wow. Yeah.
And it's still a very quiet town. It's not on the way to anything. So
not easy to get to.
But that's what
makes it very special. Well, great job to everyone involved in saving Samson
the
horse.
Samson.
Thanks, Chief. Thanks to all the firefighters there
for what you do.
Appreciate it.
Great. Take care. Have a good day, guys.
You too, man. Thank you.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. AJ did an amazing job on this stationary bike. He started yesterday at 9, went to about 8:20. Just couldn't do it. We had to pull the plug on him. He would have done it. He'd be on it right now, pushing the pedals with just raw flesh.
My tongue.
Everybody watching on Facebook Live said that we got to pull the plug on this. Over $20,000 raised for Mass for CT.
Awesome.
Woo-hoo!
And there are pictures and videos on the Chaz and AJ Facebook page and the WPLR Facebook page. And our senior vice president of the Connecticut Radio Market for Connoisseur Media, Kristen, wanted to call in and tell you how proud she is of you.
Hello.
Hi, Kristen.
Good morning.
Good morning. Morning.
Incredible job, AJ. I can't believe it. It was amazing.
Oh, thank you.
But credit really goes to Alan, who, whether you knew it or not, was checking in on you all day. And he came into my office a few times and said, "I don't know. I think we got to do something." But it's amazing. Kudos to you guys. Oh. And then before I knew it, I don't know, maybe it was like 6:30 or 6 o'clock. I don't remember. I lost track of time. But as soon as we called Chaz, he was in my door, came right to the radio station. And you guys made it happen yesterday. It was unbelievable. And I'm so proud.
Oh, thank you.
Kristen is so used to bailing us out of dumb ideas.
Help us, please.
I feel like somewhere in her job description,
right,
there's a paragraph on us and getting us out of trouble or keeping us from getting in it.
Right.
The Chaz and AJ clause.
Yeah, right. So
you've helped me get out of trouble, too. So
we watch his back,
Can we, before we let you go, just talk about your boy?
Oh, yeah.
So, world-class athlete. World-class.
Yep.
Amazing.
Yeah, today they announced it's, you know, we're not supposed to say anything until 3 o'clock today, but today they announced that they're going to put him on the U.S. Pro halfpipe team. He's going to be one of six guys.
Incredible.
What? One of six.
Oh, my God. Really?
In the world.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Incredible.
He is amazing.
Awesome. The United States. So it's the U.S. team. So it's, yeah. There are six athletes. Yeah. And he's going to be one of them. So.
Amazing.
Yeah. I'm real proud of him.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
He did a good job with him.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Both ways.
He's one of the only seniors of the class of 2020 having a good time.
You know? Lucky him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's amazing. You're the mother of like 100 people here, and you're doing a good job with all of us. Aww. And him. And
right.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, thank you for everything.
Yes, thank
and
you.
And on top of all this, she should be in the CIA. She'll send me stories from like news sites that are in different states. Like, did you see this? Did you see that?
Right.
How does she see it?
I don't know how she does it. I think she's up 24 hours a day.
Communist Russia had this one.
Yeah.
But the Justin Ellicker thing was that they had his name totally wrong as well. Not only was he a plumber, but his name was wrong. Yep. So I thought it was funny.
Right. So we got that story from Kristen as well.
Yep.
It's been a great source of information.
Yes, thank you.
This. So, Kristen, thanks for coming.
I have a lot of time on my hands.
Right.
Well, thank you, and congratulations to Joey.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, thank you so much. Congrats, AJ. You're
congratulations.
The best.
Oh boy, it's time for Dumbass News.
Hipkey.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News.
Maggie.
Dumbass.
When you see a dumbass in the news, send it to dumbassnews@chazandajinthemorning.com. It would have been easier to buy a bottle of wine. Guy rides under a wine filled tanker and drinks from the spout.
So he's tanked.
Hey.
Is that dumbass or badass?
That's dumbass.
Huh.
It depends.
Well, when you can buy a bottle or a box of wine for like $2.
Right. It's not that much.
It's dumbass.
It's complete dumbass, yes.
California Highway Patrol chip officer arrested Gabriel Moreno after he allegedly jumped on a moving tanker truck carrying bulk red wine.
Oh, look at that. Not the best.
You know, if it's in a tanker truck, yeah. Probably not the highest quality.
Right. Then again, he's also the cheapest person.
Yeah, they haven't put it yet in the fancy bottle. You got to turn it. Like, there's a whole bunch of sediment.
Right, yeah. It's chewy wine.
Yeah. Very bitter.
Climbed under the belly to unscrew the valve and drank the wine as the truck traveled up a freeway.
Now, do you sniff the cap after you pull it off or what?
Yeah, you have to let it breathe.
You let it breathe a little bit. I'm just going
to
take a sip.
You have to sniff
the
valve.
Let me just sniff it a little bit. Let me take a little quick sip. And...
yeah, how do you do that thing where you're moving the glass to see the...
Yeah, you got to move the truck.
You swirl it.
Yeah, the driver's got to like whip the wheel back and forth a couple of times, and then he's got to like, you know, he's got to put the mouth and like swish it around.
Oh, my God. We got to try to find this 911 call. Yeah.
He's under the tanker. He's got a can of, like, easy cheese
right.
He's pairing it with.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
This is like a Tom Cruise Mission Impossible move
yes,
here.
It was for him, yes.
Here's a CHP officer, Tom Olson.
This individual is able to release the wine from under the tanker, and he placed himself underneath the tanker. And I listen to the radio. I've listened to thousands and thousands of calls. This one's up there in the top 10.
Top 10. What are the other nine?
It's California.
So when we booked this guy, we figured you'd still be on the bike and you would need some like a little tune-up in the head.
Gotcha. Mike's still using
that. Yeah, I think so, too.
Thank you.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Dr. Brett, sports psychologist and life coach on the phone. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. How does someone stay on a stationary bike for 11 and a half hours?
You got to be a little bit crazy if you ask me. 11 and a half hours is a long time. Must be a good cause.
10 seconds in, psychologist calls you crazy.
Yep, good. Exactly right.
Well, this guy is good.
That's no record, but okay.
Figured that one out very fast.
I get called out in traffic.
It didn't take three 1-hour sessions.
Yes.
Nope.
Yes,
I thought it was 24 hours, guys. What happened to it? Like, I was told it was 24.
Yeah, well, like they kind of pulled the plug on me.
Oh, gotcha. What happened?
I was in pain.
He wasn't physically prepared. He was mentally prepared, not physically prepared.
Right. So
I don't believe that.
To save myself.
Which part don't you believe?
Yeah.
That he was mentally?
Exactly.
Oh, come on. Everybody calls me mental.
Wow, the doctor coming out hot with the jokes.
Wow, look at this. Hero of the week, Trevor Neal.
I thought I was ready for the 24-hour Le Mans joke.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, sorry. Hold that material for next time.
Well, he was ready to go.
Yeah.
We think. I mean, he didn't want to get off the bike.
Right. Yeah, but I kept going.
Awesome. How was the experience?
Painful.
Yeah.
Painful, I'm sure. Yeah.
I mean, the mental aspect was there.
More than anything, AJ, what'd you learn about yourself from the experience? What'd you learn about yourself?
Oh, that's good.
That I should better prepare for something, and and I probably should have had a little more training before I did something like this.
Yeah, totally.
Yep.
Very cool. Yeah, so a lot of sports psychology is exactly that. It's mental game training, right? It's all the prep. You know, when I work with the athletes, a lot of the time we work off the field, not on the field. So we're always working on present moment time everywhere. You know, I tell kids if it's like an 18-year-old boy or something and they're getting coaching, I ask them if they have a girlfriend. And if they say yes, and I'm like, one of the first things I say is, how well do you listen to her? Because I'm going to teach that kid how to listen for real, because it's going to train his mind. It's just a metaphor. Get it?
No.
I think you're having a lot of girlfriends out there. That sounds good.
I was thinking about lunch.
You never listen to your
wife or girlfriend. Is that what you're saying? You never got that one.
Right, yeah. So you just tune out.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly. But again, that's not training the mind, right? So 11 and a half hours on the bike, the mind can go a little bit either numb or, you know, the positive is, right, you can hit a zone at some point. Did that happen for you?
Yes, it did.
What were you doing? You were just in the middle of something.
I'm sorry. I have a cough coming, so I got some liquid. I was going to choke on the air, so I took a sip of orange juice.
This would be Dr. Brett's greatest challenge.
Exactly, yes.
Mentally.
But no, mentally I was...
No challenge at all, actually.
Mentally, I was there. Challenge or not, mentally I was there. And the only problem was my body was not cooperating. So I was trying every single thing I could to stay on that bike.
Yeah, well, physically, if you're not prepped, I mean, you're just going to break down at some point. So it is what it is. I mean, that's, you know, you learned that, right? You have to train.
Yep.
That's why people train for marathons, right?
Yep, I guess
so.
Don't
just go run them.
Yep. Yeah. That's surprising.
Unless they're from Kenya or something.
Exactly, right. Marathon. Yeah.
So you're teaching athletes how to block everything else out and stay in the moment.
Well, it's actually the opposite of, you know, a lot of people use that word block out. When you do meditative processes, you know, when you teach people how to meditate, you're teaching them how to focus their mind on like the breath or a candle or a mantra. So instead of blocking thought, you're actually teaching them to bring their focus back to what they want. So the metaphor, if you're a golfer, would be to focus on the fairway, not the out of bounds left or the water right that almost always exists. You're bringing your mind back to what you want in life, not what you don't want. So we're not actually blocking anything. We're actually shifting our focus to what we really want. Does that make sense?
Interesting. Yeah, because I've heard NASCAR drivers, when they're training you to, you know, when you go to Pennsylvania and do that, you're going to drive a NASCAR.
Right.
They teach you, don't focus on the wall.
Okay.
You know, or if you go into a skid, if you're a driver, you go into a slide, you do not focus on the wall. Because where do you think you're going
to
go?
Right to the wall.
Right to the wall.
Exactly.
Or the opposite of the wall, right, which would be, you know, right off the track.
The infield,
right?
Yeah.
Because in golf, think about it, right? If you focus on the water right, you're probably going to snap hook it left and hit it out of bounds, right?
Oh, great point.
Sometimes it's the exact opposite, and that's why you want to focus on what you want, the fairway, which would be the track.
They say a lot of the golfers, when they're doing that practice swing, they're picturing the shot going perfect.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. They're seeing the ball, like, before they even swing. You know, there's some golfers that you almost can see them meditating, you know, on the tee box there, and they can they're visualizing where they want the ball to go. So it's pretty cool stuff.
Like Chevy Chase, yeah.
How do you train yourself to lower your heart rate, right? Because when people are about to do something that's, I don't know, like a big deal, how do you get your heart rate down?
Smoke a joint.
Well, a lot of kids, like, could come to me because at some point they're injured and they lose their confidence, or they get the yips somewhere somehow. And the yips can happen to adults too. It can happen to business people. It can happen anywhere. And so we usually start with something really simple, like paying attention to their breath. And then sometimes we use simple techniques like deepening the breath, 2, 3, 4 seconds in, 2, 3, 4 second hold, 2, 3, 4 second out. You do that 4 or 5 times and you're going to chill a little bit. But if you start practicing that all the time, like if they're in school and they're bored to, you know, to death by the teacher and they're working on their breath, they're now training themselves to be better athletes.
Okay.
What'd you learn?
That
here,
makes
AJ?
Sense.
I learned how to breathe.
Yeah, well, most people, that's a good point, but most people literally are really shallow breathers. They're just chest breathers. They never really take any deep breaths in life.
Well, AJ's been accused of not having enough oxygen in his brain.
Many so. Times, yes.
To begin with.
Many right. times, yes. Yeah. There was that one time for a whole 8 minutes.
This is great. I'd love to have you. This could help everyone do anything, right?
Right, yeah.
We had a top pilot with the Blue Angels on, and we were talking about how can you – I asked him, how can you do such a big deal? Like, how do you do something so amazing, you know, fly two jets 18 inches apart at 400 miles an hour? He said, well, you don't think it's a big deal.
Right.
You can't think it's a big deal.
Well, yeah, and those people have an outrageous amount of focus. It's like a trauma surgeon or something. Some people are also wired a little bit differently. They're more intense and more focused, and then they have the training as well. So it's like a Michael Jordan type. Those are highly gifted people. It's not just that they work harder than everybody else or they have a better attitude. Some of it is that they have tremendous amounts of natural gifts.
And then they get into a zone or a flow, they call it, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I golf sometimes, I only play once a week, but every once in a while, you know, I'll just pop in for an hour or two, and it's the most amazing experience ever where you're just in the zone, everything just takes off, and it's easy and relatively effortless. And if you guys have ever golfed, it's such an intense sport. It's very hard to drop in, so to speak, if you're only playing once a week and not practicing. But oh, yeah. I meditate a lot. I practice mindfulness. Mindfulness is simply paying attention to your thoughts, your feelings, and your body sensations throughout the day, noticing when your mind is in the future or the past and bringing it back to the moment. That's something you guys can do all the freaking time.
Everyone's experience being in the zone, whether it's like getting the kids ready and out the door while you're doing a phone call, getting yourself ready, or, you know, you're at work and you feel like, I can do nothing wrong today. Like, I have everything that can come at me.
I've right? zoned out. Does that count?
I think it's the same thing.
You zoned out right here.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think the joke around zoning out, though, is pretty funny because it's pretty pertinent here because most people are doing the opposite. They're zoning out. They're not teaching themselves how to drop in. Dropping in is not something you can force. It's set up because you meditate a lot. You practice mindfulness a lot. You stay in the present moment. You visualize. You use your breath. You use positive self-talk. There's a lot of things that you do over days, weeks, months, and years, and then you find yourself able to just drop right in. And it's not something we can force. It just occurs. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yep. Do you have a book? Or we have your website. We're going to link up. But do you have a book, or do you recommend a book? What do you think of Living in the Now?
I mean, any of these books that train you to stay in the moment are, like, the best way to live. Right. So by far, I used to read a lot of books on like Buddhism and stuff because I was always drawn that way. And really any Buddhist philosophy in general is about present moment time. So any book that's going to take you into the moment is going to be really, really, you know, helpful. You know, Thich Nhat Hanh, the Vietnamese Buddhist, or Eckhart Tolle. I mean, these guys are all talking about present moment time. And most of the sports psychologists are talking about present moment time as well. The key, though, is to train yourself all along the way. It's about all the time you're working on paying attention to your mind and noticing again when it's somewhere else, when you're zoned out, so to speak, and then you bring yourself back in. And so the more you train yourself to come back to now, the better athlete you are, the better lover you are, the better friend you are, the more checked in you are in life, and the more fun you are. Even though I know you guys are funny, but sometimes your wife or daughter or whoever it is doesn't like it when you're zoned out.
Right. AJ, you with us?
Yes.
And we're linked up to your website, so parents can hire you to work with their kids or with them.
Oh, yeah, no, totally. I work, you know, but I also, you know, I also I do talks and seminars on the fundamentals of the mental game. I put together an outline of what I call, like, you know, five fundamental principles: the power of being present, the power of patience, the power of poise, the power of perseverance, and the power of perspective. And if you think about life in general, a lot of people, especially now, there's a lot of issues around perspective. You know, there's a lot of fear. And one of the things that, you know, most people don't realize is the more fear we run, the higher our cortisol levels go. And the higher our cortisol levels go, the less immunity we actually have, the more our immune system is compromised. So we want to learn how to stay poised in difficult times, not just, you know, living your life. And right now is obviously a difficult time.
And that works right back to, if you don't want to hit the wall, don't focus on the wall.
Exactly. Yes.
Right. Because if you're worried about getting sick, don't get yourself all worked up.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Totally. You know, I was in a bagel shop. I'm in Florida right now because I, you know, come back and forth. You normally normal times to Connecticut, right? I was by coastal California. Now we decided Florida. It's just so much easier and closer. So in normal times, I'd be flying back and forth every month or two to Connecticut. Anyway, I went to get a bagel a couple weeks ago, and I didn't see it. Someone was mopping the floor, and my feet went out from under me. And a 0.5 seconds later, I looked down, and the bone was sticking out of my hand. And I now had I mangled my wrist in less than a second, because biologically your arms go out without even you knowing it to protect your skull. It's just a survival thing from the species. Anyway, I had to handle that situation myself because the people in the coffee shop they weren't trained properly, or they were too scared or whatever. And I stayed poised. I called my wife. I said, I just broke my wrist. I need you to come pick me up, take an Uber. We're going to go to the ER. And then I asked, my blood pressure went skyrocket. My adrenaline went way up because it was pretty traumatic. And then I asked for water because no one offered that. It was a pretty crazy experience, right?
Yeah.
And then I asked for ice because nobody offered that. And then I started texting and calling medical doctors. And then, you know, and 45 minutes later, I'm in the ER. And my only fear in that whole experience for about maybe 3 seconds was, shit, now I'm going to expose myself to COVID. And then I realized I have to let that go because there's nothing, you know what I mean? I have to go to the ER. My wrist was completely mangled. And by the way, down here in Palm Beach Gardens, there wasn't a soul in that ER. I was the only one. People were so scared. People are so scared, guys, that even the nurses are confirming what I've said for months now, that, you know, there's going to be a lot of other kinds of harm here, not just COVID, because anybody with even chest pain is avoiding the ER.
Right.
Damn.
Wow. All right, I got to take a break, but we're definitely going to have you back, and we're linked up to your website, Dr. Brett, sports psychologist and life coach. Thank you.
All right, take care,
guys. Thank you.
Let's bring in Coach Beth.
Wow. Is she calling?
Hi, how are you?
Beth, we hear you calling.
We can't come home right now. It's me and the boys playing. Just can't find the sound. A few more hours and we'll be right home to you.
You probably already know AJ didn't make it.
Yes.
Well, I didn't know. What happened?
Oh. Everything. Life.
AJ?
Life happened. I fatigued. I started getting pain and stuff. I kept on going, but everybody around me decided it was better for me to stop. So we waited.
No, that was very smart. Yep, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Did you have start having stomach issues?
No tummy issues at all, no. No, okay. just my legs, my butt, and my feet were just in pain.
Yeah, it gets really bad.
Yeah, got pretty hairy.
How far did you make it?
Especially when you don't wear the right pants or shoes.
Oh. 11 hours.
Oh. 11 hours?
11 hours, 20 minutes.
Yeah, 11 hours, 20 minutes.
That is fantastic. You couldn't have suffered for another 40 to match the 12 hours from Thomas.
I know. That did occur to me as I was leaving. I'm like, because it's 9 to 9 at least.
I got to tell you, I don't think you would have done it.
I was in dire pain. Yeah.
It was too. Well, you probably could have done it. I couldn't watch you do it.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's like a trainer watching his fighter just get brutally beaten, and they still want to stay in the fight, and you just got to throw the towel in.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who is more painful for, the person that's watching or the person that's doing it. It really is. You know what? Kudos to you, man, that you even thought to do this. I'm, like, so proud of you.
Well, thank you.
You're going to be super sore for a couple of days, so make sure you get plenty of
hydrate, lots of carbohydrates and protein.
Okay.
Equal amounts, because you've got to really build up back. The, you just basically shred it. You put your muscles in a meat grinder.
Okay.
So you need to really, that's basically what you just did. You're basically hamburger. Yeah, your legs probably feel like that.
Yes,
so you need
do.
To get all that protein back into your system to rebuild those muscles back up again and quickly.
Hamburger meat's really expensive right now, so good for you.
Yes, thank you. I know.
And you find
the hounds, the hounds may be after you.
Yeah, why don't you slap it, Joe? I've got it right here for you.
All right, so top three things he should do this weekend?
Drink.
Rest. Elevate his legs as much as he can. Maybe even take a nice ice bath. That would help. Take some of the inflammation out of his legs.
Right.
Stay away from the pharmaceutical drugs. Really, just drink lots of water.
Damn it.
Combination of healthy carbohydrates and protein.
Like what? Like what would you recommend to eat? Like for carbohydrates and protein, like a lot of chicken, a lot of pasta.
Lots of chicken. You can go with the pasta. Lots of vegetables. Lots of fruits. A lot of antioxidants in that.
Any cheeseburgers in there? Any pizza? Any pizza in there? No.
Actually, you can have pizza in there. Pizza's actually good.
All right, damn it.
Yeah, I mean, it's
good for my body. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, go for that. Just stay away from like the salty stuff, like the chips and that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
They hammer down the pizza if you want it. Just make sure there's lots of protein on that.
Cool.
Even do some protein shakes if you can.
Right.
Do you like tea at all? Because some of the teas are really good for helping take out inflammation.
Tea, huh?
Mm-hmm. If you don't, that's fine. That's fine, too.
What about martini?
Martini, yes. Yes.
Different kind of tea.
A Greek
martini? Right.
Yeah.
They've actually said, do you like beer?
I do like beer, but I usually have a martini first.
Oh, you have the beer as a chaser. I'm telling you, if you do a martini, that one martini is going to be like you drank 10.
Awesome.
No!
That's not what she's saying, AJ.
I want a good buzz. Yeah,
No, it's going to take you twice as long to recover. I swear to God.
I got nothing else.
Yeah, because that's just like tearing your body down even more by having that.
I got nothing else to do, so we're good.
Beth, thank you for all your coaching. I mean, I think this, if we only listened.
Right.
Yeah, if you only listened, you would have made it the extra 40 minutes.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, at least.
Well, thank you for your guidance, and we will definitely have you back on the show if you're willing.
Right.
Yeah, take care of yourself. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, thank you, Beth. Beth Harrison, cyclist, spin instructor, triathlete coach, and personal trainer.
Right. And talks to us.
And with all that, she still talks to us.
Yes.
Jazz and AJ News.
99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. 14-day hospitalization decline achieved.
Hey.
Check.
Look at that.
Good work, everybody.
Bravo.
Yes,
applaud yourselves. Applaud yourselves.
And let's keep it going.
Yes, please.
Please.
Let's talk to a professional right now.
Oh.
I normally don't go through a list of credits and resume, but I need to do it here.
Okay.
And you'll hear why.
Okay.
We're going to talk to Captain W. Russell Russ Webster, United States Coast Guard retired, CEM, Federal Coordinating Officer for the COVID Response in New England, in FEMA Region 1 Regional Administrator. He's retired, served 26 years, led Northeast operations in the aftermath of 9/11, oversaw the response to 1999 JFK Jr. crash and Egypt Air Flight 990 crash, acted as Region 1 Regional Response Coordinator Center Chief for the first critical hours after the 2013 Boston Marathon bombings, also served as the Deputy Federal Security Director for the TSA Boston.
Wow.
He created the University of New Haven's first online course in maritime security. We're going to list on your resume, Mr. Overachiever.
Seriously. So you've been busy, obviously.
Really. Yeah. Make the rest of us look bad.
Really.
Thank you for your service, Captain Russ.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, and I know you're at the end of your 24-hour bicycle ride, and as a former biker, I know that there are certain parts of you that are screaming for help right now, and I think it's a wonderful cause, and today's also National Red Cross Day and an opportunity for people to reach out and try to get blood sometime in the future. Thanks for having me on.
About that bike ride.
Yeah. Parchman was screaming earlier.
AJ's no Region 1 director.
Yeah, no. I'm more the person you rescued.
He made it 11 hours, 20 minutes, and I believe he'd still be on there now pedaling with bloody nubs.
Yep.
But we all felt as a family he needed to come off the bike. It was smarter, like watching a prize fighter get his butt handed to him.
Yeah, smarter heads prevailed, yes.
Yeah. He's calculating. What does this mean, not to achieve your goal? I don't understand these words.
What's another word for loser he's thinking right now?
Does not count.
Right. So let's talk about FEMA, by the way. Great response to this area. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You bet, guys. And as somebody that lived in New Haven until probably the last eight or nine months, I left there, and the first thing I did when I got to FEMA was I started an effort for an opioids campaign, a non-traditional function for FEMA. But having lived on College Street right there in the Haven in the thick of it, it was something that I was obligated to do and remain committed to do.
When did you live on College Street?
I was there for most of 2000 or half of 2019 and part of 2018.
Oh, okay. So, bar, Louis?
Yes, right nearby, yeah.
Yep.
Gotcha. Walking distance.
So, this is, right. Yeah, good time to be there.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, is New York City part of Region 1?
No, we've got the six northeastern states, although the states cooperate with each other because the COVID virus obviously doesn't know any state border or international border. So FEMA Region 1 is Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine. And Region 2 is down in New York, New Jersey.
So weird for you, right? Because you got Westport, one of the hot spots in the country, then New Hampshire, which was the opposite.
Yeah, we've actually had a southern half of New England that has been severely affected, in the northern half that has, thanks mostly to the mitigation measures and the geography, been largely and relatively spared, although for the people affected, it's significant. Yeah, we have quite a commitment. We've done provided a federal medical station to Southern Connecticut State University in New Haven. We've mission assigned the DHA clinicians to serve the homeless population right there in New Haven. And we've also are paying for the salaries and benefits for 814 National Guard troops under what's called Title 32 to support Connecticut. And many other things, including an urban augmentation task force of 85 soldiers and 49 Navy and Air Force medical staff who've been working in the Bedding Medical Center in Stamford since April 7th.
And how do you feel about how things are going? Encouraged, right?
Yeah, we're encouraged enough that some of the earlier problems having to do with supplying ventilators and the urgency of the demand signal for parts of the personal protective equipment have eased off. Some of it, I think, is going to be with us for the duration. For example, the N95 masks are probably going to continue to be an issue for a while, although I think part of the problem there is some of the truly acceptable KN95 Chinese masks that have come in that are much more readily available. People are reticent to use them because of some early counterfeit actions by unscrupulous parties. But by and large, right now, this is National Hurricane Week. We're focusing on those critical issues of how to manage a hurricane in the Northeast with some of the unique
See, this is comforting to talk to you, to know that there are smart people working all these plans out.
Right.
Because we're just like, do-do-do-do-do.
Like sheep in a field.
Yeah, that's what we are.
Help
us.
Can you how scary was it? I know you probably don't get scared, but how scary was it being in those meetings when we're watching New York and we're like, yeah, that's coming our way.
That wave, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think scary is the right word. The three things that have distinguished the COVID from anything else that I've been involved in is first of all, the scale of this thing, 50 states, five territories, all 574 federally recognized tribes. Everybody's been involved in it, and that has driven a scarcity issue that is just very unusual. Even in a big disaster like Harvey, Irma, Maria, there's always unaffected parts of the nation and world. And in this case, you layer on top of that the what I call the third element of this is the susceptibility where friends and family are being affected. And normally we pulse people into an affected area who work hand in glove with people on the ground. And in this case, except for the people who've been posted in the six New England states, we have 229 people working virtually for the first time ever. So everything has been new and challenging for us. But by the same token, all of those 229 people have been involved in those disasters I've mentioned, as well as 9/11, the Boston Marathon, and several other major disasters. So they're battle hardened, but we're facing something that's orders of magnitude difficult because of 90% of what we need in some cases is coming from overseas.
What was your role post 9/11?
I was the chief of response for the Coast Guard from Canada to Toms River, New Jersey.
So response, was that patrolling for bad guys?
That was certainly part of it. For 9/11, it was basically a resource question, surging resources into the New York area so that the Coast Guard's initial challenge then was moving 700,000 people from the tip of Manhattan to other safe places by boat, twice as many people as the Normandy evacuation. That's one of the hidden facts of 9/11. And after that, redesigning port security for the fact that 90 to 95% of what comes into the United States for commerce comes in by containers.
Yeah. I remember back in 99 getting a call on a Saturday from my GM saying, you hear about JFK Jr. And at that point, I think it was a Saturday morning, the plane was still missing.
Yeah.
You guys got called in to perform the search. Were you part of the crew that found the plane?
Yeah, it was five very intense days. It was broken up into 40 hours of search, 40 hours of recovery, and 40 hours of memorial services. And the Coast Guard provided the backbone of not only the search part of it, but the coordination effort with NOAA and the Navy, as well as 28 other agencies in terms of searching for debris, searching for remains, and eventually bringing in NOAA and the Navy to locate the plane on the bottom in 110 feet of water, and then later coordinating the delivery of the remains to the coroner with the Kennedy family, and then later the family and the ashes out to the USS Briscoe, which went out to the crash site for the memorial.
Wow. That was a national tragedy.
It was, yeah.
And you see that footage of the little guy saluting his dad as the casket went by, then yep. This is just a horrible way to go.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, thank you for everything that you've done for the country and for us. And thanks for working out this whole COVID-19 hurricane stuff, because
yes.
We haven't been thinking about that.
Nope.
AJ's thinking about a martini tonight.
Yes.
You know, I'm thinking about Mother's Day, how we're going to work that out. And right. It's nice to know there are folks out there don't even know us working on keeping us safe. Thank you very much, Captain Russ.
You bet. And I just want your listening audience to know that there are 20 federal agencies, 229 invested people with a lot of experience working very closely with the state of Connecticut to make sure they're safe going forward and that we can all open up America safely again together.
Thank you, Captain.
Thank you.
You bet. My pleasure.
All right, winner of the week, 1-877-764-2535. I'd be interested to hear what AJ has to say.
Hi, how are you? I'm going with the tribe. The tribe who stepped up and made the donations.
That's a good one.
Yep.
You want to explain what the donations are for in case someone just tuned in?
The Miles from Masks that we did yesterday, me on the bike, a stationary bicycle from Fitness Edge.
Okay, nice job.
I'm losing my power.
Car accident.
In any event, they stepped
power
up.
Power low.
We raised over $20,000, so thank you very, very much.
Right.
For masks for people now who did not have any. I really can't talk anymore.
I don't know why you kept going.
I probably should have stayed home today. My mind is on my pillow.
Sounds like your brain's a busy intersection with no traffic light.
Exactly, yes. Just bang, bang, boom. Yep.
So. AJ walked in this morning. I go, what the hell are you doing here?
Yep. Most folks say good morning.
It's like, why? Was there a memo? Here? Yeah. All right, Ashley, who do you like?
This week is easy for me. I got to go with AJ. Mm. He stepped up. He volunteered for something that not a lot of people would. He put his body through hell, and he did it for a really good cause. Good job.
Thank you.
Phil?
It's AJ. It's definitely AJ. I mocked him the entire time he was on the bike while we were on the air. He laughed along with us. He stayed here long after we all left. He kept going. There was always something to watch. So even when he wasn't on the bike, like, he was very aware that, like, people were watching along on Facebook Live and he was talking to everybody. Like, he didn't have to do any of those things. And it's just what you get when AJ goes in on something.
Yeah.
It's 100%. And you just sit back and you're like in awe of how he even has the energy to keep going.
Actually,
so it's yep. Absolutely AJ this week.
I was delirious.
Absolutely.
What a coffee. Yeah. I really had to pee bad.
I'll go with that. And Phil couldn't have said it better.
I couldn't have said it at all.
I can't top what Phil just said, but I remember 1996. You were in a traffic circle in Riverhead wearing a thong.
Yes.
Nothing but a thong.
Nothing but a thong, yes.
Raising money for something. And that was the first time we had you doing something like that. And you've never stopped putting yourself out there at risk, no shame, to raise money to help people. So I underline all that. I'm going with AJ this
week.
I will
never forget that moment also because a truck driver actually stopped his truck to allow me to walk in just a thong to the Riverhead traffic circle, which was kind of odd. And then I'm hearing all the horns beeping, and I'm hearing a bunch of cheering. I look behind me, and it's all the nurses from Riverhead Hospital are in the front with cameras.
Of course they are.
So somewhere is a million shots in my ass.
Yeah. Jazz and AJ News.
Okay.
14-day hospitalization decline has been achieved.
Dun, dun, dun.
High five. Wait, no. Elbow.
High five yourself.
How about we just wave?
Wave.
High five myself. Here you go.
All right. Very good.
Yep, we do it.
Where are you high-fiving yourself?
I don't know.
Your face?
Yes.
I wonder what's inside on the butt. Your butthole.
I wonder why you're such a butthole. Sorry.
All right. So you're going to read in headlines, if you don't click on the story, that cases and deaths have gone up. It's horrible to hear that deaths have gone up. But if you watch New York, that's what happens as people on ventilators don't come off the ventilators. They don't make it.
Yeah.
So hospitalizations down, deaths go up, and the cases go up because there's more testing. So don't be discouraged, but let's just keep doing what we're doing.
Yes.
High five.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait. Just wave. High five yourself.
Right.
Slap you on the tushy, AJ.
Okay. No! Ow!
If you're self-employed and you've been like, hey, what's the deal with unemployment? They're taking care of everyone but us, and we've been promised. Well, the Department of Labor announced yesterday that there is a porthole.
Excuse me?
Wonder what's inside your porthole.
Your porthole.
I wonder what's inside your porthole.
I always want to know.
What inside your porthole?
I wonder what's inside your porthole.
If you go to the Department of Labor unemployment website, file CTUI.com.
There's a file in your porthole? Sorry. That would hurt.
That would hurt.
It really would.
It's happened before, though, right?
Yes, it has.
Prisoners?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta get it some way.
File your way out.
Exactly.
All right, so we'll link up that website to WPLR.com, 95.9fox.com.
Exactly.
That's a step in the right direction. A step in the not-so-great direction is, and you, I'm sure you've noticed this, you're on the highways, people are speeding.
They like, are it's nuts.
Like a NASCAR track.
When you're doing 70 and someone blows past you easily in triple digits, it's amazing.
It makes your car shake.
Exactly, yeah.
It's like they're at Mach 5.
Had a Mercedes on Route 8.
Really?
Boom! I'm like, wow, watching this guy go. I'm like, man, you are way over the limit. Way.
Right, and this is like not wearing a mask, right? So it's not just you who's going to die. You could kill other people who are doing the right thing.
Yeah, you could take out somebody else, yeah.
Now, there's going to be a press conference on this later, and Christine Geltema, trooper first class with the Connecticut State Police on the phone. Good morning.
Good morning. Good
morning.
Good morning.
What's happening?
We've been working with DOT because we found that there's been an increase in the month of April from the previous 2 years of 94% of drivers going more than 80 miles per hour, despite the drop of about 50% in traffic. So we've also learned that between January 1st and May of this year, there has been a 34% increase in fatalities from that same time frame from last year.
That's even a lot.
Yes, much less traffic.
Yep.
So working with DOT and the state police, we're going to start enforcing speeding, distracted driving, and the training academy is amazing, and they put together ways to keep troopers safe and individuals safe as well when it comes to our motor vehicle stops.
And how is that?
So what individuals may find, you know, we're hoping that people will listen to this press conference and look at these numbers and realize, wow, you know, maybe with the open road that I should check my speed and not speed. But in the event that you get pulled over.
You're counting on people to do the right thing.
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
So some will, but for those who don't.
Right. Pay attention.
Yes, they might meet one of us on the side of the road. So we're going to ask individuals, you know, our troopers obviously are going to be wearing their masks. They'll walk up to the car. They'll ask for their license, registration, insurance cards. And if the individual in the car is not wearing a mask, we may ask them to put a mask on if they have one in the car and it's easily accessible.
Right.
The troopers may be carrying either sheet protectors or plastic bags where the individuals can put the paperwork inside that. And the trooper can go back to their car and not have to take any of that paperwork out of the plastic bag. They can utilize the plastic bag so they're not touching people's property. And that way, you know, it goes both ways, the exposure. The troopers aren't touching any items. And then when everything gets returned back to the operator, they're just going to give them that plastic bag so that the operator is not being exposed to, if, let's say, the trooper was touching their paperwork.
A no-contact traffic stop, basically.
Basically. Yes. And in the event that the operator doesn't feel comfortable with that, they can read their information to the trooper, and the trooper can write it down on a piece of paper and still go back to their car.
Or take a picture with a cell phone.
Right.
Right. So, they have a department cell phone, department-issued cell phone, they could take a picture.
Right. Yep. Yeah, because that's, if you don't, that's a whole nother deal.
Yep.
Yeah.
That could be a problem.
Yep.
All right. So there's, look, you know, you guys and girls never came out and said it, but it's, you know, we all kind of figured it out. You're not going to pull people over and put yourself at risk because we need you around for other things as stuff was hitting the fan.
Right.
But now this has become such a problem. You're back to pulling people over. So I want to say thank you to all the people who ruined it for the rest of us.
Yeah, way to go, people.
Right.
Idiots.
Yeah, thanks.
But if you think about these numbers, 50% traffic down, 50% less cars, 34% more fatalities. That's a lot.
Because
when you have
flying.
Half the cars on the road and you go up 34%.
Yeah.
So we haven't seen them, but they're happening. Fatalities.
Yes. Yeah.
what's the safe zone here, right? There's a number. Right, because if the speeding
like 55 means
what is 55? So 55 normally, I think if I'm doing just 60, 64,
I'm thinking 65.
I probably won't get pulled.
It depends on the trooper. It depends on
the weather.
What's going on?
Raining
the
outside.
Weather, right?
It's like fishing.
Exactly right. Yeah,
right.
Right.
It's like I haven't caught anything all day. So this, even though this one's small, I'm taking it home.
What time of day it is? Exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah. So if a Mercedes blows by us with her, takes our doors off, then that might be a clue.
That's going to get your attention.
You folks are lucky, and I really think that we should start putting troopers in different types of cars. We see you. We see you.
The silver car way down there.
Hey, you never know, Chaz. You never know what kind of cars we have out there.
Yeah, I heard they got a couple of Chargers out there.
Well, we know you got the Fords and the Chargers.
You got a couple of Chargers out there. I know that. Dark windows.
I think you should be in like a dump truck.
How do you pull into a dump truck, though?
Right.
You just like block everything.
A Prius.
Right.
A souped-up Prius.
A balloon.
Very good.
Yeah. AJ wanted to go way out.
Driving, I did, yeah.
Good.
Can you imagine somebody driving in a Prius, a trooper driving in a Prius?
Right.
Oh,
right.
Boy.
With your belt on, your utility belt.
Exactly.
We wouldn't be able to fit. Some of these big guys, they couldn't fit in those cars.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, you see
it looks
head.
Like a con car. You need a sunroof.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
Right, you just see this big trooper hat coming out of the sunroof.
But luckily the hat has a strap on it, so you're good.
Right.
All right, so the press conference is today, and I'm guessing the policy begins immediate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good. So this weekend, if you're speeding off
watch
to
out.
Mom's house, watch out.
Right.
And I have a feeling the weekend that they announce this, it's going to be game on.
Yep.
Let's let people see us on the side of the road with the lights on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Let them know.
So last week the colonel gave some guidance for, I don't know if you've seen it yet or not, but the colonel gave some guidance for while you're on patrol in your cruiser to drive around with the cruise lights on to let people know, hey, we're out here.
Yeah.
And to slow down.
I have noticed that.
I've seen that, yep.
So a state trooper long ago said to me, if you see a trooper with their lights on, cruising lights on, they're looking for action.
Gotcha.
Right,
that's the on-duty light.
Yeah, they might be, I don't know, new and like excited
eager.
To pull people over.
Eager, yeah.
Right.
Right, they want to make a difference.
Yeah, they're not on the way back to the barracks and just want to go home.
No.
Right.
Right. They're on a mission.
Gotcha. So now all the lights are on. So what does that tell you?
Yes.
Yeah, everyone's on a mission.
It means being nice with my Challenger.
Get ready.
It means just being with my Challenger.
That's right.
Later on today.
All right. Well, thanks for what you do. And
thanks
for giving us the heads up on this. The press conference is coming later. If you speed in Connecticut on the highways, it could turn out not so good for you.
Right.
It's going to be a crackdown. All right. Yes. All right. Thank you, Trooper Geltema.
Thank you.
And be safe.
Have a good weekend. Right, yes. Thank you. Bye.
What's this now?
Hey.
Huh?
Hey.
John of Bethlehem.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Hello, John.
All right, I'm okay.
I heard we were talking about your horse a few hours ago.
That's your horse?
Yeah, I just turned the radio on and it was on, so I said, I'll give him a call, see what's up.
You have Samson. Nice.
We want to know what's up with you.
Yes.
Yeah, Samson in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a quick recap, there was a horse that wandered into a muddy pond and a 2,000-pound horse and needed a whole rescue operation.
A horse in the mud hole, yes.
Yeah.
I wonder where's the horse in the mud
hole.
Inside
your mud hole.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, it's actually an old pond that got filled in naturally and it's just been raining so much, it's really swampy.
Oh, gotcha.
Horses being horses, they just kind of wandered into it looking for grass.
Yeah, so who found Samson?
Actually, my wife did. She went out to feed him, and he never came up to the barn. And she went looking for him, found him in the pond.
Oh, boy.
I give her credit. She sat in there in that pond for 2 hours.
Your wife did?
Well, you can't leave Samson. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Can't leave Samson?
Yeah. 2 hours. Well, she had to go in the ambulance and thaw out.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can't leave Samson, but at the same time, you don't have to stand in a pond.
Right.
You know, that's going.
Yeah.
That's dedication. That shows love.
Love for the horse, yeah.
Holy
cow. Yeah, that's her favorite, that one.
How many people you think came out?
Too. She said at least 40 between the ambulance, the fire department. Torrington Fire Department came because they had a special unit for that stuff.
The and then there was guy. Some towing then, company out of Torrington, I think, that brought the truck straps.
Right? Yeah. I'm not sure the name of them because I didn't see them.
Yeah.
But a friend of mine, Ray Ranieri, he's the one who pulled them out with the big excavator.
That was the John Deere that he brought, right?
Yep.
Yeah. What a great community effort. It sounds like a barn party coming soon.
Yep.
Yeah.
Everyone will have to be 6 feet apart. There. Yeah, you have enough room on your property.
Yeah, really.
You could all stay 6 feet apart and
just toss the beers. Beer.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So Samson's doing good now?
It's quite the ordeal. Yeah, he's up and walking around. He spent the night in the running shed, not in the barn, in case he went down again. We were able to get him back up.
Yeah. Oh, good. All right.
Yeah. Well.
So, how many animals do you have on your farm?
I have 10 horses.
10.
4 goats and about 30 chickens.
Wow.
10
wow.
Nice. Horses. Yeah,
that's cool.
Can't even take care of one dog over
chickens
here.
Chickens are cool, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, we know that.
It's a constant effort.
I have to admit, my wife does it most of it.
There you go, see?
Yeah, it's a love. You got it. It's I don't know if it's a defect, you know, in the head.
No,
to
is.
Some people, yes.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah, there's something there. No. Well, thank you
for
coming on and sharing the story.
Yeah, no problem. I was just sitting here on a job site, so I figured I'd give you a call.
I love that he's on the job site. He's like, all right, thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Right. He's a state trooper.
Okay.
All right, brother.
Waiting for somebody to pass by John. Mercedes.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PR, 95.9 The Fox, Boss Keats in studio.
AJ, amazing job yesterday.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're living.
Thank you. So am I.
you know that
that's a compliment from Keith.
I know.
You know what
I'm glad
love
you're living.
Is that it's 5:30 and then our big boss and Alan says, we need to get on a conference call about AJ's health. I say, man, this happens every time we do something wacky.
I noticed that.
And then I say to myself, I approved all this, didn't I?
You did.
There's got to be emails that said, like, yeah, guys, do it. Don't worry about
exactly
it.
Exactly right. Sounds good.
So then I just picture a courtroom, and it's your family, because you're dead.
Right.
And I'm on the stand, and you're like, Mr. Dakin, we have this email that says, like, yeah, he'll be fine. Just do it. He doesn't need anybody in the studio with him.
Was you who gave him the green light on this?
Right. Because that email is just to me. None of our other bosses are on that email, so I'm definitely the one, like, taking the heat if AJ died last night.
You're going down.
Right.
Yeah. So good. I'm glad you're alive. And great job.
I would have signed something before I died, let you know.
But beyond that, so you get beyond, all right, let's just say I come in and I stay with you all night, which I talked about doing.
Yes, you did.
He still wouldn't be able to do it.
Right.
He was too sore, too much in pain.
Yeah.
At 4:45, I wake up and I look at him and he's wincing in pain.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, those videos were tough to
watch.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't have been able to do it.
Yeah, I gave it a shot.
It wasn't a
you did.
Matter of just having someone in studio.
Yeah, this wasn't
even
my...
Even if you assigned someone, which you didn't care if he died.
I definitely didn't. He could get his own water, I believe, is what my email says.
Yes, you did. He can walk it off with the water.
Yeah, submit it as evidence.
Right, yeah.
But even if we had someone here, he wouldn't have been able to do it.
Yeah.
No, but 11 hours is such a long time.
Insane.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, that's neither here nor there. I know you work out all the time, but you don't do a lot of cardio, right?
Not that much cardio.
Yeah.
And no one sits in place, you know, on a bike.
No, that was like 2 months worth of cardio in one day.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It's true.
Yeah.
So, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
$1,000.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
A lot of masks.
All right. I wonder what his top five is about. Is it Pearl Jam?
No.
Is it AJ?
No, it's more random than all those.
Oh, good.
Time now for Boss Keith's top five.
Okay, so my top five ways to be better at Zoom meetings.
Ugh.
Now, the reason for this is our company is having one tonight that none of you read the email about.
No, nope.
I did.
None of you know that we're having a Zoom meeting.
It's at 5 o'clock.
It's
I can't go.
It's a happy hour Zoom meeting.
Oh, so AJ was on a bike all day, and he knows. Chaz is looking at me like he doesn't even know what words I'm saying.
All right. Is this a required meeting?
No. It's
nope.
going to be a fun meeting.
Fun
I'm
meeting.
Doing, I'm doing trivia for gift cards. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun. Sorry.
How are you going to pick the winner if they're all yelling out?
You raise your hand.
Oh, gotcha.
So our general manager is in charge of the voices.
Gotcha.
She decides who she unmutes. So whoever raises their hand first, she unmutes, and
nice.
Then they answer the question.
Oh, wow.
There you go, see?
Yeah. Emails. It's in your email.
Oh, yes. I read it.
Is there a link in the email?
Yes.
Okay.
Nerd. Yeah.
Okay.
AJ, again, was biking and bleeding everywhere. Yeah, he knows that there's a Zoom meeting at 5.
There was no blood. No.
Nope. However, he knows it, but he will never. I will bet $1,000 he could not get into that meeting if you gave
if
him
tried.
A laptop.
Oh, well, right. So the other part is you need to get Zoom, which you certainly don't have.
I don't have Zoom, no.
No.
But I read your email.
He's like, Zoom what?
But I read your email. So.
Getting him on Netflix was a six-month ordeal.
But I'm on MotorTrend HD, though.
You can
that.
Do Zoom on your phone, too. Right. It's an app on your phone, too. So here, right. The whole world is doing Zoom meetings now, so here are the top 5 ways to be better at Zoom.
Okay.
Number 5 is what you just said. Mute yourself. Muting yourself is the new reply all. When you are on a Zoom, you have to mute. It's a big button. It says mute. Please do it because you're basically at home and we don't want to hear you yell at your kids and talk to your dog.
Have gas.
Right. All of those things.
Right.
Flush
the toilet.
Mute yourself.
Flush the toilet. Right.
Number 4, get out of the dungeon. So if you're in a room doing a Zoom that is a dark dungeon, buy a light. You have to look bright or you look ridiculous. So... Is that you, AJ? I can't really see anything. You're a prisoner. Like,
What if you're dominatrix?
Right, so I guess that...
Then I'm at work right now.
Right, if it's a dominatrix Zoom meeting...
Okay,
then good.
It's accessible. Gotcha, okay. I just wanted the guidelines.
No, but I see what you're saying, because I watched the television broadcast, and the people that are in a dark room, I think that reflects their personality.
Right.
The people that are in a bright light room, I'm like, they're a happy person. They're in a good place.
So I need like a confused backdrop?
Yeah.
Okay. Like just like a question mark? Right.
You're in a monkey cage monkeys.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yep.
Number 3, this is very important. Put the computer either up in the air, like on books, or dead ahead. You don't want the camera looking up at you, like up your nostrils.
Oh, it's all about the angle.
You may have a booger in your nose. Yep.
Right, so you got to think about like when you take selfie photos, AJ knows, that you want to work the angles, right?
AJ knows. Yes, exactly, right? Angles, everything.
So the same with Zoom meetings. You don't want your computer down so you're like all chins and you look like a monster.
Right, gotcha.
The original Frankenstein movie, they filmed Frankenstein from underneath so he looked like a scary monster.
Gotcha.
That's what you'll look like in Zoom.
Oh, nice. I kind of like that look, either. Though.
So the lower the camera, the scarier you are.
Right.
More of a monster.
And the fatter you look.
Really?
You look like a gross fat person.
Right. If you want to look thin, go up.
The camera adds 10 pounds. You have five cameras on
but
you.
But all jowls. Yeah. Exactly.
Right. From down here. Like, I've got all this extra chin.
Like a Sharpay,
you see here.
Nothing like you were a couple years ago.
Right. There was a lot more
there
chin.
There was a whole frog.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, we call you Keith Date Chin. Yes.
I miss that face.
It was Keith Date Chin, yes.
Number 2, get a good signal. If your signal sucks, your Wi-Fi signal, you'll spend half the meeting going, wait, what was that? Oh, man, I'm frozen.
And you're that person.
And then you've ruined everything. So that I was that yesterday. I was on a meeting yesterday. I froze 55 times, and I said, I'm not doing this meeting anymore.
Right,
and I shut my computer and walked away.
So I'm guessing no one important was on that meeting.
It's like, I'm useless.
Jeff and Kristen, not on that.
Nope.
Yeah.
And the number one thing to improve your Zoom performance is don't look like a hobo. We get it. You're working from home, but put on a nice shirt, comb your hair.
Is this the Lappy?
Have you seen Lappy's videos lately?
And shave your goddamn beard. If you've seen Alan, who's the program director of this station, I'm on a lot of Zooms with Alan. He looks like the Unabomber.
Yes.
Right. Like, you still have to look good.
The Ted Kaczynski look,
yeah. Comb the beard. Do
something. Comb your face.
Right. March 5th, that was the last time I did anything.
Right. Oh, yeah. So Phil who won't be on the Zoom at 5, I'm sure.
I will not.
Will look like a crazy person.
Right. Oh, see, now you can do it.
So I have another Zoom.
I will see you all at 5, except AJ. We'll figure it out.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.